Support for this program is provided by Chevron, the human energy company.
This is Politico Energy. I'm Josh Siegel. Almost every state in the country now has a climate plan, including many red states. It's a notable development thanks to this little-known program called the Climate Pollution Reduction Grant, which is part of the Inflation Reduction Act. Experts and climate advocates say the program is one of the most important parts of Democrats' trademark climate law, and it basically looks to inject climate planning backed by billions of federal dollars into state capitals, including in places where Republicans have shown little interest. So today, Adam Aiton from Politico's E&E News on why most states, including red ones, now have climate plans. It's Monday, March 11th.
So this is called the Climate Pollution Reduction Grant Program. It's $5 billion. The idea is to get states to start looking at their own sort of unique circumstances and get to thinking about how they can reduce their greenhouse gas emissions. It's meant for states, but tribes and big cities are also able to get some of this money. And the first tranche of this money that went out was $3 million for each of these states just to get the ball rolling, to hire the staff, to do the work, to start pulling together all the different threads that they need to start planning for how they're going to reduce their emissions.
Got it. And how is EPA kind of defining the criteria for, you know, the states to receive the funding? Is there some sort of model or anything the states have to follow, or is there some flexibility there?
Yeah, there is a lot of flexibility. I mean, that's part of the idea behind this program is EPA wants to give states the tools to sort of experiment and see what might work. The laboratory of democracy idea is very present in this program. Again, you know, this is about cutting emissions, not planning for climate impacts so much. And so there's a real emphasis on how much climate pollution each of these priority action items they do. There's a real emphasis on what emissions they can cut and how cheaply they can cut it. And there's also a real emphasis on environmental justice. Each state in these plans is outlining how low-income or disadvantaged communities could benefit from, you know, all the sorts of things that they're talking about here, whether it's installing EV chargers, putting more solar panels on buildings, whether it's cutting pollution from other sources. There's a real emphasis on spreading the benefits to lots of different communities.
Interesting. And one point in your reporting that caught my eye is you're saying that a lot of red states have actually taken the money, are filing plans. So what are you kind of hearing from states? You know, it's not all red states, some are rejecting, but kind of what are you hearing as far as red states who are interested and those who aren't?
Yeah, it's really interesting. You know, so there's five states that have rejected the money, and the reasons typically boil down to politics. South Dakota, Governor Kristi Noem, Ron DeSantis from Florida, Kim Reynolds from Iowa, each of them from the beginning sort of said that they weren't going to take this money. And each of them has either run for president themselves or has been in sort of the conversation about being picked as the Republican nominee's vice president. The one outlier initially was Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear, the only Democrat who did not take this money, and he was up for re-election in 2023. And so his team viewed that as a sort of liability, and they said that they were not going to take the money. And the other state, Wyoming, Governor Mark Gordon initially was participating in the program, but then he pulled out later. And he cited two things. He said he was worried that EPA could take this plan and sort of turn it upside down and use it as the basis for more regulations. But the other thing that he said that I think was really interesting was that there was a time crunch here for his state to get this climate plan together and tell EPA what they actually wanted to do. And he said it just didn't make sense for Wyoming to do that.
But for the red states that are accepting the money and are, you know, formulating plans, I mean, how are they explaining that? I mean, this is the Democrats' big climate law and they're kind of partaking in it. You know, what explains that?
To begin with, it's just hard to turn down free money in a lot of ways. A lot of red states are looking at this money as a way to continue doing a lot of things that they're already doing. So, for instance, Alabama has, you know, applied for this money, a very conservative state, but they're saying, hey, you know, if we can use this money to spur economic development, and especially in rural areas, then that's something that they're at least going to be in the conversation for.
How are kind of climate advocates and experts explaining as far as just how important this program is to the administration's broader climate agenda? I mean, is it a small piece? Is it actually bigger than maybe it might appear? I mean, how would you describe just how it fits in?
This is not the biggest climate program in the Inflation Reduction Act, but it kind of punches above its weight in a few ways. Climate advocates now have dozens of climate plans that they can sort of compare apples to apples. Beforehand, you know, maybe some states have put out a climate plan and maybe it was a couple years old, or maybe they didn't put one out. And now they can kind of take all of this information, put it in one space, and look at how different states are approaching these questions. And beyond that, this is really just created an opportunity both for experimentation. And so this money, you know, creates an opportunity for different states to try and tackle those programs and tackle those challenges that are just more difficult inherently for the feds to get their arms around. And different states will be getting grants of various sizes. The biggest ones are $500 million. A lot of them are going to be smaller than that, just a couple million dollars. But not everything in these state plans will get funded from the federal government. But because these plans exist, local advocates, state advocates can go to state lawmakers and say, hey, you have this climate plan. These are the things that you've said you want to do. How about we fund them ourselves? Or how about we look for other ways that we can accomplish these goals? And so there's a sort of force multiplier effect here of, yeah, you know, the feds are pushing out $5 billion to the states to do this stuff. But advocates are also hopeful that this is going to create some momentum for more action in the states as well.
Also, the United States just endured the warmest winter on record, according to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Temperatures clocked in about 5.5 degrees Fahrenheit above average for December through February, according to the agency. NOAA has previously said this year has a 1 in 3 chance of besting the hottest ever recorded annual global temperature set last year. For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our free newsletter at politico.com/power-switch. And subscribe to Politico Pro to read our morning energy newsletter. Some of the music in today's show was composed by the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. And that's our show. I'm Josh Siegel, and we'll see you back tomorrow.
Support for this program is provided by Chevron. Chevron is taking action to keep methane in the pipe. Their 2028 upstream methane intensity target is set to be 53% below the 2016 baseline. And they're committed to evolving facility designs and operating practices. That's energy in progress. Learn more at chevron.com/methane.